Then it could be Book of Genesis, the second chapter. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. The epistle to the Hebrews, or rather Ephesians, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as under the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's what we get there in that last verse. Particularly is on man. All that we have there in the fifth chapter, though he leaves us to understand it, as that in reference to human, earthly conditions, yet in his mind, he's speaking of the Lord, of Christ, and the church. That is the basis of my short talk this evening. We turn now to Genesis 2. We see there something which was before sin took place. In this scene was there it had not entered into the creation which God had made, into the paradise of God, hadn't entered. And he said here, it is not good that the man should be alone. There is the first thought that God has expressed concerning Christ and the church. That here, in the paradise of God, God's Lord, and he had reference to Christ and his church. It says there that he fell in. It says, I will make him a heartbeat for him. The thought is, God will make for Christ something which is like unto himself, a counterpart, a companion, one that can enter into his thoughts, one that can enjoy his love, and of course that he can enjoy her love, but we still need, and that's what I wish to bring before the thought that here in the beginning of things, before ever seeing a dead thing, God gives his thought, Christ in the church, Christ in the land, Christ and the wife. Those are what God had in mind. And even in creating man, he had that in mind. And what do we find in the moment that was created? We find that she was made of himself. I didn't read concerning creatures. They are separate. But we find here that there is that which is taken out of man. A rib was taken out of him. The flesh closed up again. And out of that rib was made a woman. And the man said, this is a woman. In other words, she's my counterpart. She's my helpmate. Now here we see it. What was God's mind in doing that? That Eve should enjoy Adam's love, companionship. That she should enter into all that Adam was going to do, the man. And that she would be able to enjoy it. And he would enjoy it. How true it is. There, at the very beginning, in a sinless creation, mind you, in a deathless creation, there was a man who could enjoy his wife, vice versa. Now we see in that a picture of all that the Lord did. I've been amazed as I have concerning these things. How that the Lord there, it takes out, as it were, from himself that which is of himself, and makes another like unto himself, exactly the same as himself. Perfect. Without any blemish. Without any wrinkle. All those things that mark us as creatures of earth. Not mark that creation. It's of God. And though that was there, given, that Adam should enjoy with his wife those conditions, how long they lasted, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking not very long. But they came to an end. But I see in that a picture of what the Lord is doing. God is doing, the present time, through the gospel,
through the giving out the glad tidings to the whole universe. That God should bring out of it all a company of people that should be like unto himself. Perfect, holy, without spot of anything. Now, I don't wish to bring before you a great deal, although there's much going through my mind. But I have been meditating very much recently in the book of Genesis. And I see therein many pictures of what God does. As Eve was the, you might say, the prototype of the church, the bride. In that it was there before the fall. This was inherent. There was perfection there, as far as it went. We see then, in the Christ is brought before us, in the rest of the scriptures, that which speaks of the perfection of God's work in the hearts of his own. Now, as I meditated upon the book of Genesis, I found this out, that there are many examples of the things which the church, or the bride, or the lamb's wife, or the wife, whichever you like to call it, pass through in relation to the person. My mind goes, first of all, then, to Isaac. But the wife. Isaac is the one that was risen from the dead. And as the one that has risen from the dead, he has had a wife. It's on the other side of this present condition of things. Having risen from the dead. Picture, as we know, of the Lord himself, having gone into the dead, comes out of it. But in coming out of it, he gets a wife. Now we find that Isaac, after he had been brought back again, having gone with his father to Mount Moriah, and there been offered up to God, where God intervened and said, "Do the lad no harm," he saw the faith in Abraham, it would enable him to believe that that man, that lad, if he should be put to death, should be slain, it was that which would raise him again. So we see then in Isaac a picture of the resurrected Lord. And he gets a wife. Or we find that it's after that that the Abraham says to his servant, no doubt a picture of the Holy Spirit, he says, "You go and get a bride for my wife, for my son. Get a bride." And the Holy Spirit has been occupied ever since the Lord rose from the dead, even to this present moment. The Holy Spirit is working with that in you, of bringing together a company of people that shall be united with that blessed risen person. He shall be brought forth as the one who has a bride suitable to himself. Matthew, the man was not told, although I believe in the way it's told, he's a nameless man, he's a servant. And truly, the Spirit of God is a servant, is the servant of God in that respect. And he's told, he must not get a man, a bride, from the country around. He must go right to where Abraham came from. And there he must get a bride. And as we had the other day, he comes to the
household and sees Rebecca. He is fed, he feels, this is the one. He brings it before her parents. They turn around and say, look here, when she gives an answer, let it be. So, the girl is brought before him, and he says to her, wilt thou go? Her answer is, I will go. I will go. And there, is that the answer which we as those that have been influenced by the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit have come to that decision? We want to be associated with that blessed person that's in the heavens. The one that has passed out of there is at the other side of it. That's where we want to be. I'm not going to be dead, but she comes. And she's presented to him. And he takes her into his mother Sarah's tent as his wife. We're not told a great deal about Isaac in that respect. But he inherits all the greatness, all the wealth, all the glory that marked Abraham. He inherits it. He gets it from his father. And Rebecca is the one that is joined to enjoy it all. Now, in the coming day, when, as it were, the Lord himself shall receive from the Father all the glories, all the wealth, all the greatness that the Father bestows upon him, wondrous grace, wondrous grace, that he should associate his own with him. How wonderful it is then that we sit there in the picture of Rebecca and Isaac. That which she willingly went. She forsook her own country, her own people. Mind you, she was only a young girl, in her teens. She couldn't have been much older. She took it all. She says, let her go. She learned from that servant the greatness of Isaac. All that would be his. The coming glories, the coming greatness. Do we learn it down here what the greatness of the Lord is and what it will be in that coming day? And the infinite grace on God's part that he associates us with. He said, I want you to go into it. I want you to enjoy it. What it is. But look at another one. Not only do we have Rebecca. We get information to Jacob. We get Leah. The thing this is, there's quite a difference between Isaac and Jacob in this respect. In Isaac, the bride is brought to him. But in Jacob, he goes seek a bride. What does his father Isaac tell him? He says, go to Laban. Go to that far away, that country where we come from. He says, and take a bride there. Don't take one like Esau doing. One of this country. No, no, no. You go there and get one of ours. One that belongs to us. One of our nature. One of our countrymen. Get one of those. What does the Lord do? He's come into this world. In his infinite grace, he's come into this world, searching for a bride. He's searching for a bride. Those that shall be his throughout all eternity, to know him and enjoy him in all his fullness, he's searching for him. He came into this world. He sees one. And she's called Rachel. But for the moment, I'll leave it aside. He is not given Rachel first. He's given Leah. And Leah becomes his bride. Becomes his wife. Now, what is there associated with Leah? Leah is the one that is with him during those many years of hard labor and toil. Read it for yourself, the book of Genesis, about the chapters 32 or 33 or something like that, I think it is. There he finds, she finds. She gets him as her husband. And she says, I'm going to be with you. And she's with him during all those 20 years of serving in that land. We know. 7 years for Leah. 7 years for Rachel. 6 years for his welfare. For his money. For what he had the right to have. 20 years. We find that she's with him all day long. She's with him in all the toil, in all the sufferings. And what does he say to Laban when Laban comes and says, look here, you're running away with my children? He says, did I not labor all the nights? How often did I labor night and day that I might not take a thing from you? But that which I had a right to have and which was arranged with you, my June, I am. Yes. And yet, mind you, she's a picture of the truthful bride. She has the children. She is the one that can bring it forth. And there it is then. We see again, in Leah, a picture of the church. A picture of that one who, having been with the Lord in all his labors and toils down here, what is it that goes on? Have we not been talking this week about many of our exercises, of all our, many of our difficulties, the things that come before us? Have we not been speaking to one another about them? That's what we have to do. It's toil and labor. Night watching. Being deceived. Yes. I'm not going into the fact that Jacob was a deceiver. But mind you, Laban deceived Jacob a good deal. And how much of it, when you come and see it in the Lord himself, down to him, the one that suffered in this, he who finds and we admitted in it, we're not wanted in the world. We're ostracized. We're set at naught. We're despised. We're persecuted. All these things are part of us. What we have to take down here, what the Lord has. We tread the pathway within, through it all. But mind you, he got great wealth. Great wealth. It made him a great man. When he comes back to the land, and with all his children, and Leah is there, Leah is with him. She enters into that inheritance, and all that that was to be his, in coming back to his father. She enjoys it with Isaac, with Jacob. And we are really and truly enjoying the fruit of the Lord's labor down here. In not only in Calvary, in all that he did, but what goes on through his own, in a testimony down here. What will it be when we find that it's all over and we're in the presence of our Lord himself, to know and enjoy his greatness, his glory, his welfare, the ours. But I spoke before about when there was another one, Rachel. Now we find that when Jacob came there there to the house of Laban, he saw Rachel. He says, that's the one I want, Rachel. That's the one I wanted. We know from the very first he was deceived. He bargained, he said to Laban, I would like Rachel. Yes. I would like her. Well, he says, serve 7 years for her. But he found that he was deceived because he didn't get Rachel then. It was Laban. Then what is Rachel a picture of? A picture of Israel. A picture of Israel. He came to his own and his own received him not. He didn't get them. When the Lord came into this world, was it not to fulfill all the promises to Israel? Then what was it for? Nothing. But he will have Israel. But Israel, as it were, is the one. He loves them, yes. But has no fruit. No fruit. Until the end. We did Jacob, but we did Joseph. And she dies at the birth of Bethlehem. And Matthew, it was before they arrived at the end of the journey. Now I see in that a picture of Israel losing that place for the time being, only to get it in the future. What? Rachel, being a type of the Israel, is not fruitful. Leah is the one that brings forth fruit. Leah is the one that enjoys all the wealth and that comes through the suffering of the Lord. We are the ones, the church of the present time, are the ones that enjoy the things. Israel, where is it? They're blinded. They're out of it all. Rachel has passed away, as it were. For the time being, we know. But she's out of it. It's Leah that comes in. And I think, in that sense, Leah is a picture of the church going right through into eternity. Whereas Israel finishes at the end of the millennium. However, those are only thoughts that I have in mind, that pass. But we get others. We get also those that speak of various things. For instance, there's Joseph. Joseph is the one who was despised by his brethren, who wasn't acceptable to them. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. He went to Egypt. Though out of being self, he was a perfect man. In his ways and his people that he had came in contact with said, he's a fine man. What in Egypt? What happens? He said, I make you head of my household. Evil comes in and is put down to the bottom. It's put in prison. It doesn't know evil. It goes to the bottom. While in prison, what does he say? He meets there about that. And the butler says, look here, I've had a dream. Oh, he says, I'll tell you all about it. And he tells him what the dream is. And the dream comes through. But what does he say to the butler? He says, when you get out of it and are received back again into the king's household, remember me. Remember me. I'm still in prison. Down at the bottom. It took quite a while before that butler remembered his promise to go back to Joseph. But what is it? Joseph is brought out of it all.
the wondrous things, is raised to the next to the Pharaoh in the land. What greatness! What glory was his! When you consider the Lord as Josephine and Jeffries, what do we find? He was the one that came down to the bottom. His brethren wouldn't have him. He came to his own and his own received him not. They would not have him. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver, but received his gifts. He went to the bottom. Before men he was despised, not wanted. He was slain, he was crucified upon the cross. Where is he now? In the glory. He's been raised from the very depth to the very highest. That's where he is. And when he's there, a remarkable thing is that he's given a wife. When he's raised from the top, he's given a wife. That's enough. And she is the one that is with him in his greatness in Egypt. What a picture of us. And all the greatness of God, goodness of God, and his grace, that he takes us up. Those that have been down at the bottom, those that are really of no value at all, many a time. He raises us up. He blesses us in himself. And the day is coming when, united together with Christ, we shall be with him in his glory. So we see then Joseph and Asenath, a picture of the Lord and the church. But take a look at it. Take Moses. Moses was one who was great in Egypt. He was one given a place in the household to be trained up or something as the great one of the Pharaohs. But the time came when he realized, he says, these downtrodden people are my people. It's all very well saying I'm the son of Pharaoh. Those are my people, and I want to be with them. I'm going to take side with them. And he takes side with them. And what does it mean? It means that he has to flee the country. It's not just the moment. Nevertheless, God has his way in each one of us. But it's not the moment of being there, the deliverer. These people in Israel is to go into rejection, and for 40 years is there, knowing what it is to be a shepherd, to shepherd the sheep. A little bit of what he had to do in the third 40 years of his life, to shepherd Israel. He learned there. But another thing is this. When he goes there to Midian, the land of Midian, what is he doing? He goes to the priest, in connection with the priestly family. He's given a wife. Zipporah comes into his life. She's rather different to Asenath and Joseph. Asenath in connection with Joseph is given the place where he's great in his glory. But Zipporah is with him in his 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, in the land of Midian. Be with him in all his rejection by his people, counted as nothing. As I said, we beloved friends, we have to be down here as those that walk in association with the man that's to be in the glory. But now is the time of our rejection. We're not wanted by the world. We're not accepted by the world. We're set aside, we're despised by the world. And that's where it is. But here, simply, there's two sons. And they are associated with Joseph, with Moses, in his rejection by his people. The outcome. There's another two of them. We find there in Ruth. We find in Ruth the one who was, she lost her husband. She was in sorrow. She knew what affliction was. She knew what poverty was. She was down at the bottom. She had no children. Her husband had died. Her father-in-law. There's only in Naomi that could be of any help. But she is. She was a great help. Naomi was, as it were, a great help to Ruth. When they two offer offer and Ruth were together. And they said, the mother-in-law said, look here, you cannot come back with me to the land of Israel. Go back to your people. They think it over. Orpah says, very well then, I'll go back. Ruth says, no. I see something in you that I want, and I'll not give it up. You, a God, shall be my God. You, a land, shall be my land. You, a people, shall be my people. Because I'm going through with you. And she went through with you. She comes into the land. And there, as it were, the marvelous thing is this. There's one Caesar that makes her to be greatly desired. The voice. Strength. And what does he do? He says, I'm going down. And the marvelous thing is this. Oh, it amazes me. In ways I'm not going to put in the details. He takes that. But what was she? She was a Moabite. And what does it say of the Moabites? They shall not be in the congregation of Israel to the tenth generation. The tenth. Do you think she'll ever get there? Never. Ten generations. Impossible for me and my people, of me and my generations to ever be. Never. And yet the grace of God is such that it takes you and me and puts us into the place of death, associated with the one who is great in wealth. Great wealth it is. He's a wealthy man. What is it to worship? To think of God in his infinite grace, has taken us up. We who are like the Moabites, with no rank whatsoever to the things of God, and yet we get it. We're bowed down in praise and worship to God for all that he's done, that he should take us up and bless us in such a way. She was a widow. She knew what it was. Suffer loss. There's lost everything. And the father and the husband, everything went. But she got a husband. How like the of the Romans that is. When one dies, what is it? He brings in another. We die that we might be married to another. With the grace of God. That we have brought unto the degradation of sin and raised up the greatness of God in his majesty. Associated with him. And out of that, what do we find? In due time, we know it's not that, it wasn't her son, but it was her grandson, and he was David. David, the picture of the Lord himself. David, the king.
there in the royal line of Israel. They should be brought forth. And Moabitess that brings in the royal line. What should it be? In the royal people of God. In that coming day, the manifestation of it all. That the people that were sinners saved by grace and nothing else. We praise his name forever. Praise his name forever. One more. It's just the thoughts that are passing through my mind. Another. Abigail. Now Abigail was the one that was associated with the man that was working down here. Nabal was a man of wealth, great wealth. He was one. He wasn't associated with the mind of God. Now Abigail, although it says wonderful things about Abigail, she's the one who has to take the Lord's place. God in his wisdom brought death to Nabal. When David hears of it, what does he say? He says, send for her. I want her. She be my wife. And there she comes. She who would have been associated with wealth takes the place of despised, hunted as a partridge upon the mountains. Not sufficient, as it were, to find the next day's need. The despised king that had been anointed. Associated with him. Beloved friends, we are associated with the one that is despised upon this earth. Don't let us be ashamed of it. Let us remember. As she saw him, she says, I will sit with him upon his throne. His glory and majesty shall be mine. I'll be with him in it all. The greatness is yet to come. How is this yet to come? It's not now. It's yet to come. But in the present time, we're to be associated with the Lord in his redemption.